Camera work invokes the trinity of camera, subject, and photographer. In moments of extreme grace, these three elements converge and flow into one thing. Then, in suspended time, a vision can be realized that sees beyond the surface and connects to something greater, even deeper. This is the time when exploration becomes discovery and passion transubstantiates into a photograph. They're amazing words, aren't they? Well, those words are of my next guest, David Roberts, the photographer. David's philosophy seems at odds with our time when photography is ubiquitous. It's often intrusive, not always considered, and cameras have become so small we can fit them into our top pocket. But David's equipment wouldn't fit into any pocket. He uses a large format camera and travels with about 50 kilos of gear to the Arctic and a journey along the Yarra River in Melbourne, amongst others. A new exhibition of David's black and white photographs will open tomorrow at Magnet Galleries in Melbourne. It's called Double Vision and features works by David, who's based in the Yarra Valley outside Melbourne, and the Sydney-based photographer Jeremy Raby. I'm joined now by David Roberts in Melbourne. David, thank you so much for coming in.
It's a privilege to be here. Hello, Ed.
Hello. David, the vocabulary of photography is often rather aggressive. We take or capture a picture, shooting a subject. How does your own philosophy compare with this?
I think if you think in terms of being receptive to what's out there, as opposed to, like you said, taking, shooting, capturing, it becomes less of a almost colonial approach and one more of just an openness to what you might find. Yeah. So it's more of receiving, I think, than taking.
How did your love of photography develop? For want of a better word, sorry, I realize that's a terrible pun.
It's okay, because things don't develop in the same way that they used to for the most part, as far as a dark room goes. But I was living up in far north Canada doing linguistic work with a North American Native group, First Nations, and I deliberately didn't take much in the way of photographs then, just out of respect for not objectifying anyone in the village. I just gradually picked up a 35 millimeter camera and was intrigued by the process and what was possible with it, and things went from there, developed, as you say.
And how did you end up by using such a large camera? Can you describe the camera that you use?
Yeah, they're called view cameras, and they're the type that have a bellows, and you put the cloth over your head to cut out the ambient light. And they're from the early days of photography, but they're not anachronistic in the sense that they're still incredibly modern instruments that are still useful, and the type of photographs that could be made with them aren't just, you know, related to old wagon wheels and such. So it's a perfectly wonderful way to do things. It's different than, as you were starting to say earlier, the common way that photographs are made now. It's a slower, more contemplative way. It relies more on craft, and so I gravitate toward all that. I like being forced to slow down because you can see more when you do.
David, if we look at a photograph with some of those very high-end medium format digital cameras, like a Hasselblad, say, and one of your pictures, which is a plate, how would the two differ?
When you look at even a small low-res image that's printed, it looks pretty good. If you put it next to something that's a little more substantial, the differences begin to show themselves a little more clearly. And some of those differences are with, for example, a Hasselblad, which is one of the higher-end medium format type digital backs. They go up to almost 400 megapixels now. So the amount of information and detail that they can capture is quite astounding. And one of the links in that chain then is printing, because you can't really see what's on a sensor. You have to externalize it. And that is where I think one of the differences show. Silver gelatin prints, the old wet darkroom, the silver is embedded into the paper as opposed to a digital print where it's sprayed on top of the paper. There's a bit of a tactile difference, I believe. And it's more of something that's felt than it is seen.
Yes, oh, that's it's not something you would necessarily think about with photography, so that's a really fascinating point. Thank you for that. David, is it really true? I know it is true because I've seen the photographs, but it's hard to imagine you travelled alone in the Arctic with 50 kilos of equipment?
Yeah, I went up into north of the Arctic Circle in Alaska for 9 weeks. I was there by myself. Wanted to experience the change of seasons between autumn or fall and winter. And so I had a sled. I was dropped off by a plane and put everything on the sled and just pulled it by harness.
Oh, it's just extraordinary. David, you have taken photographs of many famous people, Julian Burnside, the Dalai Lama, but you've also taken the most exquisite landscape photographs. How do you develop your relationship with your subject? Is it in a way the same with a person and also with a landscape?
I think it's exactly the same because in the way that we started off talking about being less aggressive in the approach and being more receptive and open to what's there, with a landscape, it's almost as though you ask permission. It may not be animate in that it's going to verbalize a response back to you, but whether you're taking a portrait, whether you're doing a landscape, it's being allowed to see, which is a real privileged position to be able to do. And I think for the photographer to be open to those possibilities as opposed to forcing the opportunity makes a big difference. So in a portrait with a person, if you just encourage an environment and open up a space or a place for them just to be, then they don't have to act, they don't have to perform, they can just be who they are. And then that actually shows, it comes through.
Yeah. With the exhibition that's coming up, Double Vision, what pieces will you have?
I'm going to have about 30 pieces in there, and Jeremy will have about the same number. And it is a little bit of a retrospective of some of my work over the past number of years, but also some new pieces as well. My work is all traditionally produced. Jeremy's is digitally produced. And so it's a study a little bit in the different types or methods of what's possible in today's world. One isn't necessarily better than the other. I just gravitate to the one. Jeremy gravitates to the other, as many others do. So it's a nice appreciation both of differences as well as similarities.
Yes, it would be so interesting to see the two side by side. And you mentioned touch before. Will people be able to touch the photographs? Or I guess that would leave marks. It might be tricky.
Well, as long as they wash their hands first, I suppose.
Okay.
Be okay.
That's good to know.
They can get up close and personal, yes.
Absolutely. David, your work and philosophy, they seem to have a sort of religious, almost a religious feel to them. Is there, in a way, a kind of search for self in your work?
I don't think you can avoid it. Who you are is going to be represented in the way that you see and the kinds of work that you produce. Yeah. So it's this wonderful paradox, if you will. I mean, you have things outside of you, you have things inside of you, and there's some kind of meeting place where it happens. And so the religious side, I grew up religious. You can't help how you're raised. I think spirituality more than religious perhaps is a better way of putting it.
Yeah. Final question, David. I can't resist it. Do you ever have an urge to take a snapshot?
Absolutely. I carry an iPhone with me just for that purpose.
All right. That's good to know. David, thank you so much for coming in and congratulations on your exhibition. I hope it's a great success for you.
Thanks so much, Ed. It's a privilege to talk with you.
Thank you. David Roberts, photographer using large format photography. His paintings are really exquisite. I urge you to look at them. If you just put in David Roberts photographer, then you'll come up with his website. There are details also on our website. And David's joint exhibition with Jeremy Raby, it's called Double Vision. It opens tomorrow night, that's the 15th of November, at Magnet Galleries in Melbourne. And that runs until December 8th.